Becker on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live here at Bridgestone Arena. Not Zambonis, just singular. A Zamboni is out cleaning the ice. Predators will be on the ice in about an hour and a half getting ready.
And by the way, that's a real Zamboni. That's not a sound of a Zamboni.
Oh, okay. I was like, what do you mean?
Well, because, you know, when you're watching the Major League Baseball, there's been all this discussion. So I have concluded this in watching pieces of different games that they show. Some parks are better than others at putting the background noise in there.
Pumping in stuff.
Pumping it in, yeah. I am for it, but there are times where they're a little late on the trigger, and there's like this delay. A guy makes a catch in center field, and it's like 1,001, 1,002, and then all of a sudden you hear the crowd. It's like, buddy, pay attention up there.
So
time that a little bit better.
If you can hear the Zamboni in the background, yes, I'll clarify. It's real.
It's a real Zamboni.
We're not pumping that into the broadcast. Yeah. That's an actual
Like yesterday,
Zamboni on the
if
ice.
You heard Paul McCann, Paul was not here. Paul was not actually doing the PA.
He was
recorded, but we had the sounds of Paul McCann and the sounds of Crazy Kyle. Kyle was not sitting at the organ.
Let's find out what they're going to be pumping in a high school football game.
Well, that remains to be seen, but that's why we have our next guest.
Yep. Stephen Hargis is on the line with us, Chattanooga Times Free Press. He covers high school football, high school sports, and has been tweeting a lot of stuff about what the TSSAA is going to do about this upcoming fall season. Stephen, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for doing this. Let's just get everybody caught, get us caught up to speed, get our listeners caught up to speed. As we sit here on, what is today, July 23rd, where are we in all of this?
Well, at least now we have a plan now. From yesterday's Board of Control meeting, they handed out a plan where coaches know that at worst-case scenario, there would at least be eight-game season that would begin in September, mid-September. And would have, you know, a smaller playoff pool, but we would at least have a season. But it's a plan that they voted in that's flexible enough that if and when the governor were to exempt the TSSAA, as he did in-state colleges and professional teams, then the season could begin much sooner, possibly even as regularly scheduled, which would mean, you know, teams could get ready for an August the 21st kickoff. But all that now depends on if and when the governor actually exempts the TSSAA from his state of emergency plan.
The biggest problem the NCAA has at this point is Mark Emmert has no control. They don't have a leader in place. They don't have someone that can tell everybody to be uniform and get on the same page. So we may have a college football season where one conference is playing 9 games, another conference is playing 10 games, this conference is playing 8 games, they're playing 11, which, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out, how that would affect if you're having a playoffs. So how about the TSSAA? Do they have the ability to get everybody on the same page with playing the same number of games? How is that going to work?
Well, what they can do, they can give you the plan that teams can follow. Now, it's still going to be up to certain individual school systems if they were to shut down or say that they've got a spike or something like that where they're closed sports. But if that were to happen, unless it's statewide, then that specific school system would kind of be on an island on its own, because what the TSSAA is given is like broad strokes rules that would accommodate everyone to play the same number of games, provided that you're allowed to in your individual school system. They've set it up where everyone has the same number of weeks to work with, you know, to put together the same number of games. Where the playoff system would be the same for each classification. I mean, everything would work the same, but then ultimately it does come down to the individual school systems that, you know, God forbid if you were to have a COVID-19 outbreak in a certain area and you had to shut down school or a program for a bit, the show would still go on without that school system that had to sit it out. But, that's the great thing is everyone's kind of working under the same umbrella.
I live in Rutherford County, and they're kind of going back and forth, and it seems like right now where they are today is you can sign up for the semester or the fall to be in school or virtual. And I don't, like I said, they keep pulling things back, but let's just go with that. The kids a lot of places are going to have the ability to be at school or do things virtual. If you're doing things virtually and that's your family's choice and you are an athlete, how does that work, Stephen?
Yeah,
are you going to have the ability to play?
Yeah, absolutely. They spoke about that yesterday, that if kids are, as far as they're concerned, people are supposed to be concerned, if a kid is enrolled in the school system, they are then eligible to play. So if your school system allows only virtual classes in your neighboring county, allows for kids to actually be in the school building, those kids are seen as the same, essentially, because they're both registered and attending classes within their school. So, yeah, they would be able to play.
So how do you think, as we sit here in late July, honestly, and I know this is a loaded question, none of us have any answers. We've learned it's fluid, it's day-to-day, week-to-week. But sitting here today, what do you have a concern about moving forward, and what do you feel good about moving forward from all the information you've gathered?
Feel good about the fact that now there's at least a plan. I mean, lots of coaches were really frustrated that they didn't know what to tell their players, their parents, you know, as far as when padded practice would begin, when the season would begin. Now they can at least, you know, explain to that group, okay, here's the plan. We don't know exactly if we're going to start the season because we haven't heard from the governor's office yet. But, you know, at worst case scenario, as I mentioned earlier, we know we're going to start games in September, so we can start moving forward toward that. And if we get to go out sooner, then great. That's something to feel good about, is that there's at least a plan now, and it looks like we're moving forward. If things stay the same or hopefully get better, then we're going to have a season. And I think all of us that went through the spring where you saw, you know, your hearts went out to, especially the seniors, but all the spring sport kids who had their seasons taken away, and, of course, the basketball teams who their season was ended right as the state tournaments were about to begin, that's a really tough thing to swallow for those kids. You don't want to see that again, you know, especially the number of kids that play football and just how important it is to so many communities. You feel good about the fact that now those kids are hopeful that they're going to have a season. Things that would concern you really are, you know, just the uncertainty, as you mentioned, just not knowing enough about this virus to know, you know, if there's going to be another, hotspots or, you know, outbreaks that kind of cause spikes to go up in certain areas that would cause you to have to pause the season. Potentially after it gets going, if the numbers were to rise or things like that. I mean, those are things that you certainly worry about. It's just the big unknown that's out there is probably the biggest concern.
Talking to Stephen Hargis, he covers high school football for the Times Free Press, if I can say this right, Times Free Press out of Chattanooga. Stephen, so when do you expect Governor Lee to make his decision on whether the season could start on time?
That's a great question. I don't think anybody really outside of his office knows that. In speaking with some of the TWSBLA folks, they said they've not been given an indication that it's coming anytime soon. It could come, you know, at any time, or it may not come at all. They've not been given any indication as far as the timeline for when it might happen. Basically that was why they passed the ruling that they did yesterday that gives us some flexibility to say, okay, you know, if we don't get this exemption, then at worst, we're going to start our season. It's going to kick off in September the 18th. If we do get it, then we've got kind of a sliding scale that we can work with as a timeline for whenever the governor does give this exemption. So they've kind of covered all their bases there, but they've really been given no indication that I know of as far as if he's going to or when he might.
Do they have to? I mean, we were kicking this around yesterday. Have they? I don't think they've made a definitive decision on schools in general, right? So you would feel like they've got to have a little bit better feel for where everybody is on actually starting school before he would make a decision like that.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I think you're kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
There. I think, you know, there needs to be some kind of statewide ruling for schools and you know when they would start and their plans for, and then you go, you know, sports would be secondary after that.
I'm guessing, though, we've read reports. I think California is one that's already made the decision to push the fall sports into the spring. I'm guessing that's not on the table right now for Tennessee.
No, it's not. It would be one of those, last case scenarios if we were to have something happen where the numbers go in the wrong direction and everything gets starts to close back up and it pushed school or you know, sports back a few months where it looked like you wouldn't be able to get them in time this fall, then you'd have to look at that as kind of a last-ditch effort to get them in. But I think they really want to avoid that at all costs if they can, just because then, you know, some people have argued that go ahead and just move it to the spring because it gives you more time. Well, it also causes, you know, kids who are multi-sport athletes, now they're going to have to choose, am I going to play football, basketball, or baseball? You know, if you can push everything back,
that's tough.
To a spring start.
Good point.
Or to have the choice of, you know, am I going to play one sport and then run right into the other one when the season's already picked up? I mean, it's just, you've already had kids who lost their spring, you know, this past spring, who lost the chance to play spring sports. You don't want to take away the opportunity to make that up this year. You'd much rather give as much of a chance as possible, you know, if there's any chance at all to play the fall sports on their timeline and then, you know, spring sports on their timeline so that these kids can have as much a sense of normalcy in their athletic career as possible.
Willie brought up California. I know Florida is moving forward with the fall, but what about, you're down in Chattanooga, so how about a couple of states that are joining to Tennessee, that right there on the border? So how about Georgia and Alabama? Do you know exactly what their plans are in those states for the fall? Are they moving forward?
Georgia moving forward is actually, they're going to allow practice to go off as normal. I mean, they're on a normal timeline for practice. They did push the start of the regular season back 2 weeks to kind of give them a little bit of a little more time there to evaluate some things. But teams are going to start practicing next week. You know, they're getting ready to go out in pads, get ready for the season, and then their season would start 2 weeks later than normal. Alabama's moving full speed ahead. There's no changes to their schedule whatsoever. I mean, they're going out to padded practice next week. They're set to kick their season off August the 20th and the 21st, that Thursday and Friday night. They're going to have a lot of games there. You know, we border both those states, and that was one of the big concerns in our area was before there was the plan that came out yesterday. There were quite a few coaches who were concerned that they had kids, families coming to them saying, look, if we don't know something soon, we're going to transfer to Georgia because we know when their season is going to be played. We don't know anything about Tennessee. So there were probably 12 or 15 coaches that I'd spoken to who were worried about losing athletes into Georgia. So that was the great thing about at least now they can go back and give some guidance as far as what Tennessee's plan is going to be. But the states that border us closest down here really are much closer to going off or planning to go off, you know, business as usual. They're using their original schedule.
Stephen, you kind of led me into the next question. I think I know the answer, but is it fair to say that an overwhelming majority of schools, leaders, would like to play? If they get the green light to play, they're going to play. How much pushback are there from maybe some people that are a little bit more on the cautious side or listening to the health experts that are saying, hey, this really isn't a good idea? How would you weigh that?
I would agree that the majority of the people that I've spoken to, you know, especially administrators, feel like, you know, if they're in school, they should also play sports because, you know, a couple of principals that I spoke to in the last few days, you know, mentioned how much better the school year goes when you have particularly football. You know, academics, everyone's academics are better. There's fewer discipline problems, things like that. It bleeds into every aspect of school life. So they want to have sports back because it's just a better feeling. Also, you know, another area to look at is a lot of in the smaller communities, especially, you know, the mom and pop restaurants really thrive during football season. When they have a home game, their restaurants are packed and things like that. So, you know, it kind of affects the overall community, not just the school. But for the most part, I've heard nothing but just positives. Now, there are lots of people who, you know, want to pump the brakes and say, let's, you know, not sure if we're even going to have a season, that type of thing. The way I look at it, I'm more the eternal optimist. If we're in school, you know, we should certainly try to find a way to play sports because it's such a huge part of kids' lives and such a positive, you know, in terms of it helps them academically and you know, discipline and things like that are much better when they're playing. So for the most part, from what I've heard, no real, you know, what I would say negatives, just more people who are maybe cautious. But for the most part, everyone really wants to return to the playing field.
Yeah, Stephen, I try to check myself, you know, pump my own brakes, to use the term that you did. Because my enthusiasm, I have a daughter that is a soccer player, and I want to see her have her senior year. She lost her junior year of lacrosse last spring, and so we want to play, right? The enthusiasm, and then as you kind of hinted at, there's all these economic levels and reasons for the TSSAA itself and all the surrounding businesses and the small towns that really thrive when the season is in. And so I just hope those don't cloud the health issues that we have to make sure that we're going through. You know what I mean? I mean, this is we all want the same thing, but we got to be careful about it.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, People's Play didn't just approve the plan to begin the season. They also set out, you know, 12 steps, regulations that, you know, as far as the return to play for all sports, not just football, for all sports, as far as, you know, reminding people to social distance, asking schools to require, you know, fans to wear face coverings, you know, masks at games, limit the number of people who are allowed through the gates. You're not, you know, discouraging them from having a full house for any big game, things like that. I mean, they had 12 steps that really, you know, were well thought out to try to keep everyone safe and not just, you know, the athletes, the families, everyone around them that would be there for watching those games. You know, obviously there would be temperature checks daily for the athletes coming into practice, temperature checks for the athletes and coaches, fans coming in for the games, so that, you know, they've really got a plan to try to keep everyone as healthy as possible and yet still have the games. So that was, you know, kind of hats off to them for some forward thinking there and not just turning people loose to go practice and play the games, but also trying to find ways to keep everyone safe as well.
I think that would be a huge part of the equation. Steven, while we're at it, did they announce anything on girls soccer? I know that they're sort of in lockstep with football in terms of, because it's a contact sport, more or less, a different kind of contact, but I know they were delayed in a similar fashion. Is it the same situation for soccer? Did they announce anything there?
Pretty much, yeah. They're kind of under the same umbrella. You know, they're considered, the as you mentioned, the contact sports going to the same timeline. And you know, they're allowed to begin practicing and playing as well as football if the governor were to exempt them. If not, they've given the timeline for soccer coaches when they can begin as well.
Gotcha.
Good stuff. Thanks for getting us caught up to speed on all that. That's a lot to take in, but, boy, you brought up some really interesting things, and I hope all this happens. I do think we need it, and you bring up some good points about the kids, too. I just think they're in a – we've talked about it on the show, Stephen. I just think the four-plus months of really no structure, no schedule, I've seen it. I've seen it in my own house. I've seen it with some of the youth baseball kids that I'm around. It's affected them, and I don't know if going through another semester or fall is going to help them at all. So that, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. So I hope we're able to get all this going. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I mean, one other point just real quick to consider. I mean, obviously the coronavirus is something that's really scary and needs to be taken seriously, but, I mean, the offshoots of not having school, not having sports, when you look at teen depression is on the rise, you know, teen suicide, things like that. I mean, that stems directly from kids are social beings. I mean, like the rest of us, they want to be around their friends, their teammates, their classmates, things like that. So when they're, you know, spend months and months being kind of secluded, there's a mental factor there too. And there's, you know, more than just mental fatigue. It really has a very negative effect on kids. And that's why I'm such a proponent myself for having, you know, cautiously, but having school and having sports come back, because I think it's such a huge positive in kids' lives and everyone's lives.
Well said. Thanks for the visit. Appreciate you doing this.
You bet, guys.
That is Stephen Hargis, Times Free Press down there in Chattanooga. Really good insight that we'll come back and talk about on the other side as we wrap up on the other side, the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.